All right, we're breaking into this program to take you live to Khartoum. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Sudan's military leader, is giving a statement right now. We've missed the beginning of it. Let's listen in.
Initiated by Hamdouk last year. As a result, based on the current condition our country is living is nothing but a true threat to the people's aspiration, dashing our hopes towards a democratic homeland. As we have been stepping into the state of civil democracy and justice, the political wrangling and the competing for power, enticement for violence and chaos has had dire repercussions on our country, including the economy. And as a result, it was mandatory for us in the armed forces, the rapid interception and rapid support, to take the initiative in order to preserve the achievements of the glorious revolution until our ultimate goal is achieved. A civil democratic state is established, and as a result, it is resolved. First, to declare the state of emergency across the country. Second, to totally adhere to the constitutional document for the transition period in 2019 and the peace agreement signed in Juba of October 2020. Third, the Articles 11, 12, 15, 16, 24, paragraph 3, 71, 72 of the constitutional document be suspended, provided that the international agreement signed during the transition government will be honored. Fourth, the Interim Sovereignty Council dissolved and members disbanded. The Cabinet of Ministers be dissolved. Six, to have the governance of provinces terminated. Eight, the Director General of Ministries and Provinces to undertake the affairs of the respective provinces. Finally, to freeze the empowerment committee until their actions are being evaluated and that the resolutions are enforceable. Exempted from these measures are the peace agreement obligation signed in Juba in October 2020. As we reiterate that there are historical grievances for our people in the East, as are across the many provinces, including demands for justice, freedom, and equality, we are all required to join forces to reach workable solutions, to live up to the aspiration of our people, and to remedy the roots of our problems across our country. We believe that this glorious revolution will continue to march forward by the grace of God and the firm belief of the young youth who watered them with their blood. We will not steer away from the stipulations of Article 8 of the constitutional document. And from this day forward, until the general election are held in July 2023, to improve the living condition of the people, provide maximum safety and security to the people, and to provide the positive atmosphere for all the political parties in order to work out their efforts before the general elections. The affairs of the country will be undertaken by an independent technocrat government where people of the Sudan from all walks of life will be represented. We will continue to work for ensuring to achieve the requirements and obligation of social justice, including the Supreme Judiciary Council, the Constitutional Court, and the Chief Prosecution. And as a result, the young youth who have been part of the revolution will be part of the observation committee in order to observe and monitor their progress. As we hope all the people of the Sudan to come together in order to rebuild our country, engage in productivity. Our country deserves every sacrifice for our people's freedom and dignity. Once again, we reiterate that we reiterate our commitment to the constitutional document, including the peace agreement with the armed factions in Juba, signed in Juba. And we call for General Al-Hilu in order to be part of the new Sudan, the Sudan of democracy, freedom, and justice. We cannot be dictated to by any particular party or faction. We extend all appreciation to Iran and the brothers and friends of Sudan who have always been supporting our country for the success of our transition period. We all you salute our people, the fortitude for your fortitude and patience, and we salute the personnel of the regular armed forces who are guarding the land and skies of the Sudan. May God accept in His mercy the fallen martyrs and grant sweet speed recovery to the injured. Thank you very much.
Well, that was General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Sudan's military leader, speaking following the military's takeover of Sudan on Monday. The most important thing of note, I think, to come out of that that statement was that the country is going to be run by an independent technocrat government until elections in July 2023. Let's bring in Al Jazeera's Hiba Morgan in Khartoum, who was listening with us to that statement. He kept saying, using the words freedom, democracy, justice, the constitution, the fact that that he will still abide by the constitution. What do you make of what you heard, Hiba?
Well, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan has said that he is committed to the constitutional declaration. That's the power-sharing agreement that was signed between the military that took over following the ousting of former President Omar al-Bashir and the Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition. Now, things have quickly developed here on the ground. The Forces of Freedom and Change Coalition have called statements from General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan as a coup, saying that it's a violation of that constitutional declaration, which he says he abides by. Now, he has suspended several articles in that constitution. So that includes the formation of the transitional government, which obviously is the Sovereignty Council, the Executive Cabinet, and the formation of a Legislative Assembly. He's bringing back the Transitional Military Council after canceling one of the main articles of that constitutional declaration. But people on the streets, some of them have responded by announcing general strikes and civil disobedience, saying that they will not go to work, whether at state level or at federal level. On the other hand, some have taken to the streets, burning tires, setting barricades to show their anger at the military takeover.
So what was the point of the general's speech just then? What was he trying to achieve?
Well, it looks like what he's trying to do is to assure the public that that the military will not be retaining power for long. He has stressed that there will be elections in July 2023. So it looks like what he wants to let the public know is that this is a temporary transitional government. This is not something that is basically open with no deadline. He says that he wants to give a chance to the political parties to organize themselves for elections. But he's also said that he wants a government made of technocrats, people who basically are professionals in their fields, leading the country, partly because of the economic crisis that the country is facing and partly because of the reforms that people have been doing, so have been asking for. So it looks like what he wants the general public to know is that there will be a civilian government, or rather a government of technocrats with professional people in their posts to try to run the country until the end of the transitional period in July 2023.
Okay, Hiba, stay with us for a moment. We'll be back with you in a few seconds. Let's take a look at some of the other developments that have been happening in Sudan today. Hundreds of people, as Hiba was saying, are again on the streets despite a violent response by security forces on Monday. The military chief, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, has dissolved the transitional government and now all unions in the country too. The US is suspending $700 million in emergency aid and is demanding the release of everyone detained, including Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. The UN Security Council will discuss Sudan later on Tuesday. At least 7 people were killed in Monday's unrest. A state of emergency is in force. Phone and internet services are still down. Al Jazeera's Rosalind Jordan has more now from Washington, D.C. on the U.S. reaction to Monday's coup.
The Biden administration is taking every opportunity to say that it condemns the coup attempt in Khartoum on Monday. Not only has the Biden administration decided to suspend all $700 million in economic assistance to the transitional government, it also says it is watching very closely how members of the junta are behaving as the process carries out. This is what Ned Price had to say about the prospect of sanctions against members of the military.
Rosalind, it is very early hours. This happened overnight. We are evaluating the situation on the ground. We are watching very closely. We are communicating and coordinating very closely with our allies and with our partners around the world. So I don't want to get ahead of where we are. But suffice to say that we are willing to resort to any and all appropriate measures to hold accountable those who may be attempting to derail the will, the aspirations of the Sudanese people, and those who may be responsible for violence that we may yet see.
The coup happened just hours after the U.S.'s special envoy for the Horn of Africa, Jeffrey Feltman, left the country. He had been left with the impression that the process of political transition and reconciliation was still on track, according to some in the State Department. Now, the big issue is whether or not this will affect the resolution of another regional crisis, that of the Grand Ethiopian regional issues later.
Gillian Lusk is a Sudan analyst. She joins us now live from London. Gillian, a lot of the international aid that was promised to Sudan following the toppling of Omar al-Bashir and the formation of the transitional government hasn't even arrived. So is the threat of holding back aid to Sudan, money from Sudan, actually going to hold any sway with the coup leaders?
I don't think it will, not very much, no. I mean, what the coup leaders were really, really keen on, most Sudanese have been saying since long before the coup happened, is to be taken off the United States terrorist list, which was done, of course. So, you know, that will be the real weapon they could use. But until and unless there's evidence, or the U.S. has evidence of terrorism, of terrorist links, then they're not going to put them back. So I think the calculation of the coup leaders is that they can get away with this for some time, and that's the time you need to consolidate.
But Sudan is in a desperate mess, isn't it, economically at the moment? The people really need that aid money.
Yes, they do. And there was aid is due also not only from the United States, of course, but from the European Union, from various other countries, from Arab countries and so on. If any of that is suspended, it will make a difference to ordinary people.
Where does the army get its money from?
Ah, well, the army has a lot of industries of its own. And in fact, there has been much talk recently in the civilian wing of the government, the transitional government under Premier Abdullah Hamdok, there's been much talk about investigating these military industries and so on. And obviously, the army didn't want that. Also, there are links to gold production and exporting.
How do you see this playing out over the next few days and weeks? Has the army underestimated public opinion in Sudan?
I'm not sure that it has, because last Thursday there were huge demonstrations all over the country supporting the civilian government. People had often been quite critical of the government, the public, I mean, had often been quite critical of the government before that for, you know, not doing certain things quickly enough, particularly dealing with the old regime. But on Thursday, when it became clear that people from the old regime were speaking out and Islamists were calling for a coup, no, and that coup, that call was led by Islamists, it wasn't just ordinary people, you know, because of that, millions, well, perhaps not millions, hundreds of thousands of people came out on the streets. And they're out again now. So I think the army knows what it's up against, but it's prepared to use violence by the look of it.
I don't know whether you heard General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan's statement just a few minutes before we began speaking. He said that an independent technocrat government will run the country until the elections in July 2023. He kept reiterating that he will abide by the constitution. He kept using words like democracy, freedom and justice. He was appealing to the youth, that the revolutionary youth in the country who wanted change so badly. What do you make of what he's trying to do here?
I reckon he's stalling for time while, you know, the real people behind the coup, the politicians, because I'm sure there are politicians behind the coup, and most Sudanese seem sure of that too, while they, you know, consolidate, while they get a hold. And that's very important if you launch a coup. It's not just, you know, taking over certain buildings and announcing that you've done a coup. It's actually getting control of various structures and putting your people into certain places. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. I think he knows what's happening, but I don't think it will work. I mean, we've already had this morning, Maryam Sadiq al-Mahdi, the foreign minister, has called for civil resistance. The Sudanese ambassador in Washington, Nour al-Din Asati, who's a highly respected veteran academic and politician, he's called for civil resistance. I think the civil resistance will continue. I don't think that anybody will believe Burhan. He's not. On Thursday in the demonstrations, people were shouting almost equally, I'm told, against Burhan himself and against the finance minister, Jibril. So, Jibril Ibrahim, that is. So, you know, I think there's a lot going on there which will continue to go on. I don't think if people don't resist, it doesn't mean they won't accept it because they're afraid.
But you feel that you're concerned that there's a real threat of violence if the army feels pressured, if the public demonstrations get out of control or are more than they can handle.
Well, they will handle them with violence. They've already been doing that. I mean, we've seen video clips of what appear to be rapid support forces, but could also be ordinary soldiers just in ordinary fatigues or could be Islamist militia. They've all been described as being involved in this, them beating up people just walking down the street, including women, not people protesting. This is just people going home. And there are clips of this, which from good sources. So I think they would just use violence. It's what they did before. But, of course, the public resisted it before. So, I think there could be a lot of violence ahead. And then it will be interesting, of course, to see how the outside world reacts.
Gillian, it's been really good to talk to you. Really appreciate you being with us. Thank you. Many thanks indeed. Gillian Lust there.
Thank you. London. Thank you.